Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We will get back to the Knicks stuff. Good job by them. Really good run. Fun. I enjoyed it. You know, I used to dump all over it. The comp, contrived, lame, weak. What are we doing? NBA stinks. They lost their way. Not that I'm leading the shouts of glee, but I definitely enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the semis. I enjoyed last night. It really just comes down to this. Interest, passion, play hard, play with purpose. You know, the way the NBA used to be. And that's really good to see. So I did enjoy it. Some of you, of course, are not feeling it. Some of you, of course, are maybe going a little bit over the top. I would say I'm somewhere in between. Certainly more, much more toward the enjoyment side. All right. I got to issue a warning here. I don't even really need to sell this too hard. Let me just give you a few very quick thumbnail bullet points. So there is one MLB writer, his name is Schoenfield. I don't really know him too well, but he is a reputable writer. He predicts that the Mets will get Bellinger for 6 years, 180. That's his prediction. I told you I was watching Sports Night last night, as I often do, and they were debating about and certainly talking about how the Mets are, quote, very in on Cody Bellinger for his services. That as per Mark Feinsam. Okay, now, the way I feel about Bellinger is I would love for him to come back to the Yankees. I really would. He does, and we know what he does, so I'm not wasting anybody's time telling you what he does. What he does, they need. Now, the problem is, what he does, the Mets also need. And the reported deal, and Schoenfeld, I believe is how you say his name, not only did he give you specific contractual parameters, 6 years, 180, he went so far as to say he thinks it's going to happen or predicts in the next couple of days. So, in all probability, before Christmas. Things could break down. There's a million different people out there with a million different sources. I'm not taking this as gospel, but I'm certainly not here to refute it. He's a reputable journalist, and I respect that. And, you know, I've known Feinsam for a long time. I like his work. I think he's good. I don't think he's one of these sensationalists, which drive me crazy. So, when he says the Mets are, quote, very in, I'm buying that, and I believe it. Okay, now, Bellinger at 8 years, which is not going to happen, is sheer idiocy. I think Bellinger at 7 years is irresponsible. I think Bellinger, if he goes to the Mets for 6 years, and Hal Steinbrenner allows that to happen, that should be probably much more even than Soto, the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened under his watch. Because it's one thing to swoop in and, you know, make these concessions, which, by the way, I'm kind of happy the Yankees did make all those sweet concessions for Soto's family. Don't get me wrong. Would have been nice to see a couple of more years of Soto and Judge. It was phenomenal for the 1 year. But big picture, you know, the defense, lack of foot speed. I know he stole 40 bases. He's Ricky. I know. My bad. I just don't think he's going to age incredibly well, but I think it's an irresponsible contract. Now, the Mets could get out of it. He can opt out. Mets decide if they want to tack on some more money, they keep him or not. So it's not really basically a decade and a half worth of contract if they don't want it to be. So that's the trap door, which was smart by the Mets, right? But that's one thing, because I can compartmentalize all the good stuff and all the things that I think made that contract unnecessary for the Yankees to keep going. They went pretty far, and I was fine with it, all right? And they lost out, and he's a Met. And he had a good season, and I think this year he'll have a better season because he'll be more consistent. hopefully from the start and hopefully with runners in scoring position. But that's the Soto situation. If you allow the Mets to swoop in now, swoop in and take Bellinger, that is an unforgivable offense. It really is. Now, again, this is just an estimate. This is somebody, you know, throwing out numbers, 6 years, 180. If it's 7 years, 190. If it's 8 years, which it won't be, but I'm just saying, whatever, stop. I'm not even interested in him for 6 years, quite frankly. Because I do think this has gotten to a point where is now, like, how we present Bellinger is a little heightened. I mean, you know, it's great to be versatile, truly. And it's great to make contact and play multiple positions and have some pop and be a good fielder and have pretty good wheels. But, I mean, geez, not Ken Griffey Jr. or Bonds or A-Rod. Relax. Or Aaron Judge. But because of the desperation and the holes, the Mets more desperate because they have more holes. But the Yankees have holes as well because you don't know what Jones and Dominguez really are, etc. You don't know if Grisham bangs 34 home runs again. And you don't really know if Ben Rice can handle first base. So because of all that, the Yankees should be beyond motivated to keep him. I don't think that they are. I'm not really feeling it. See, let me tell you the way this works. The way this works is, it doesn't mean that it's always right, but when you get something that definitive, that concrete, 6 years, 180 for one guy, fine sand, Mets are very in, you haven't heard a peep about the Yankees with Bellinger. Now, maybe that is a good thing. Bellinger knows them. He knows them, and they know him, I should say. So there's really not a lot to volley to the media to plant stories just to get a little extra juice. And, you know, the leverage is what it is. Like, all right, I'm going to ask for this, and you know what I can do, and you're either willing to pay it or you're not. And at that point, Bellinger's going to have to make a tough decision. Whereas with, you know, the Mets and his agent, you know, you want to get that out there because you want to create competition. And if the Mets weren't interested in Bellinger, and the Dodgers, who I think have tepid interest, I don't think he's going to wind up there, even though they've been connected. But if you took out those two teams, who's really chasing him outside of the Yankees? Maybe Toronto if they whiff on Tucker, right? Maybe. So you're creating a market. But 6 years, 180 is the drop-dead point for me. I'm not going to year seven. He's not worth it. But if he goes to the Mets and it is 6 years, and, like, the Yankees have the ability to top that, at least in terms of money, maybe not years, and they don't, then that is just, that's just unacceptable. That is unacceptable. You cannot let the Mets swoop, and I've tried not to make this, and this was a mandate that me and Sal had probably halfway through the show. Like after the first year. Like it always seemed to be, we're talking about the Mets and then the Yankees pop in. We're talking about the Yankees, then the Mets pop in. No, I'm not trying to do this here, but they are not two separate issues. The Yankees need Bellinger. The Mets need Bellinger. The Mets took Soto from you last year. The Mets seem poised to take Bellinger from you this year. The onus is on the owner to step up, push everybody else out of the way. Cashman, you know, the analytical nerds, whoever they are, get out of the way. Get me on the phone like he got on the phone with Judge from Italy. What do you need to make it happen? And make it happen. The PR hit, you don't recover from that. Like you might get me once. You get me again in back-to-back years? Well, now the tides are turning. And I know the Mets didn't have as good a season as the Yankees, and they haven't won since 86. But perceptually, everything that we thought Cohen would do, you know, outside of keeping Pete, and I know that bothers you, I get it, but he's not done. And if he comes back into your crib and takes one of your valued players who makes you better at three different spots and who so cleanly fits behind Judge, and you don't fight back, then what the hell does the Yankee aura really mean at that point? What does it mean? He's not a perfect player, but he's perfect for you. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. 888-808-1019. It's BT on the Fan. Let me get, all right, Larry's up in Westchester. Get back to these calls. What up, Larry?
BT, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Can't complain. Listen, BT, again with Bellinger. Yeah, the Mets really, really need him very badly. But I still think when push comes to shove, Hal's going to step up and do the right thing. He's going to end up back with the Yankees. Probably for the 6 years, the $30 million, $180 million. I don't think you have anything to worry about as far as that goes.
To me, that's not how I operate. I don't just expect things to happen like I used to because they're the Yankees. I know you want to make another point. See,
yeah.
And I'll let you, I promise. There was a point, and every Yankee fan knows where I'm coming from when I say this. Like, it didn't matter who it was. It didn't matter how much it was. Giambi, can get Giambi, of course, with the Yankees. Oh, Matsui from Japan, of course we're going to get him. Yeah. I mean, that's the way it went. And that was the expectation. Yeah, we're going to win the World Series. Why wouldn't we with the Yankees? I have not held on to that for a long time. Some people still do, even though that number is dwindling. So when you say I'm fine and they'll get him, I'm not taking anything for granted because it's a different mode of operation in the Bronx lately.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly, BT. Like I said, I go way back with the Yankees and the Mets back into the 60s. And when Steinbrenner, the old man, owned the team, forget it, whoever he wanted, he got. It's changed drastically since Hal took over. But it's just since the Mets took Soto, I just don't feel that Hal's going to step up at the last minute and retain Bellinger.
That's, I mean, he might, feeling. But he better.
Yeah, that's just my gut feeling about it. And I believe me, I'd love to see him in a Met uniform. He's perfect for us. That being said, I know it's early in the offseason, but I still haven't seen any kind of concrete plan what the Mets are going to do. They've let over $100 million walk out the door, and yet McNeil is still on this team, which surprised me.
For now.
Yeah, for now. For now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, again, I was all for blowing up the team. I talked to Sal about it.
Uh-huh.
But Alonso, how do you replace 40 homers and 120 RBIs despite the faults that he had?
Yeah.
I think that was a big mistake, and they're going to have a hard time replicating that production at first base. But we'll see what happens.
Well, Larry, that's the
point.
Now, finish up. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Larry.
No, that's it. I mean, they talk with San Diego. I heard some kind of rumors that they were interested in Tatis for Lindor, something like that. That wouldn't kill me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
As Lindor, I still think there's a lot more to him than meets the eye.
I feel you a little bit on that. Larry, thank you for the call, bud. Appreciate it. I mean, it's been a very quiet off season. I mean, this time last year, you know, Sal's coming in here with the scepter and then the music and the red carpet and the purple robe. Like Carly Rae welcoming Soto. And I had to sit there and take it, and I did. But then my Yankees went out and did some good stuff. Got a closer who, up until last year, was the best in baseball. Better than Diaz. Not by much, but better. A little different, but better. Objectively speaking, not subjectively speaking. And they went out and they got Bellinger. And they went out and they did some things that I really liked. Goldschmidt didn't work out the way that I thought it might, but I thought the pivot was strong. I mean, all we're doing this year is losing guys, both teams. So that's got to stabilize itself really soon. It has been a very quiet, depressing hot stove. But I think what he just said about the Mets, how do you replicate Pete's production? You don't. And I've been saying this for a long time. And I think back then you were resistant to it because I don't think that you thought that Pete really would ever be gone. It sucks that he is. I get it. But never once did I say, now go find another guy who's going to hit 40 home runs. There is nobody. I mean, it's like he's 37. When you're a fairly young guy and you're a prodigious home run hitter and you're a low maintenance teammate and you play every day and you've had some massive home runs and some big moments, generally your team doesn't let you leave. Usually. Except the Mets, which I agree with. But it was never, we'll find the next guy, put him at first base, 39 home runs, 113 ribbies, and oh yeah, by the way, hopefully a better fielder. No. My thought always was to build a better team. So you improve the defense, you're going to slice off 15 home runs, maybe more, but maybe get a higher average, maybe get fewer strikeouts, maybe get better on the bases, maybe become a better defensive right side, certainly with Simeon and whomever you bring it for, it's going to be Polanco a little bit. And he's got good hands, so whatever, we'll see. But it was never like apples to apples. It was always, all right, Pete goes, there's an unconventional way to get better. That's what I've always thought. And they haven't done it yet. I mean, right now, the Mets are on a playoff team. Right now, their rotation stinks. They're not entering the season this way. Whereas the Yankees, you know, if they don't get Bellinger, if he goes to the Mets or somewhere else, you know, I don't really know what the pit. Maybe it's Bichette, maybe, which I'd be okay with, as I said yesterday. Yeah, he could play shortstop this year. When Lombard is ready, he could then go to third base because McMahon's deal will be up. And then Volpe, if he deserves it, could go to second base where he's probably better suited with his arm. Like, that would be okay. I don't know that they do it. And I'll also say this. If they do get Bellinger, then that's probably it. Maybe one more arm. So there's not much more coming. But what does come, you know, certainly for the Yankees and to a lesser extent the Mets, it's going to determine if they're a playoff team. Not if they're a World Series type of team. I think it determines if they're going to go to the playoffs, you know? All right, Dove. Let's get a mixed bag here, buddy. Yankees, Mets, Knicks. I wouldn't have it any other way, right? As we start to wind things down on the midday show. This is your final day, right? You and I will not
with
be...
you. Correct.
Oh, man. Not your final day. Your final day literally is the 31st, I think?
Correct.
Okay, so I'm going to have to say a couple of things to you later because you are off Friday, as you are for religious purposes. By the way, happy Hanukkah, Dove.
Thank you.
Did the mensch on the bench come by with any goodies for you?
No. I'm at the stage where I give the goodies, not receive the goodies.
Yeah, but do you buy into that commercialized stuff? I know you're all about...
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I didn't think... Okay. But many are, and hopefully the mensch was dropping some good stuff for you. Although I did see you tweet the candy, like the coins. So
yes,
you
are into it. My wife bought some chocolate coins for my daughter.
Well, there you go.
I don't know if you saw the picture. It's what? Like Bitcoin instead of...
I saw it. I know, I did see it. So you're off Friday, and then Friday's my last day, and I'm off tomorrow, and you're working. So I got to say a couple things nice on the air about Dove. I just have to think what they are. Just kidding, buddy. 888-808-1019, BT on the fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Mets reportedly, you know, to the degree, I'm not exactly sure the extent here. Maybe midfield, maybe at the Yankees 40. I don't think it's inside the red zone. But the way it's being positioned, maybe getting ready to swoop in and take Bellinger, which cannot happen for the Yankees. You cannot have that twice in a row. Back-to-back years. No way. No way. All right, let's get back to the calls. All right, 888-808-1019. Pete's in Seaford. As he checks in, talk a little Mike Brown. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, what's going on? I'm not crazy about the cup, as it were, either way. But what it was a playoff atmosphere against a good, young, up-and-coming team. And more specifically, the kind of team in the Spurs that are supposed to give the Knicks fits. Long, athletic, rangy, the kind of guys that you could switch five different guys onto Brunson. And Brunson didn't have a great shooting night, you know, whatever, 27 points on 27 shots, something like that. But what it showed really was a lot of the things that Mike Brown brings to the table that Tibbs just didn't do even in the playoffs, which is, you know, Bridges, either he was dealing with something or just didn't have it last night. And to go to Tyler Kolek the way that he did down the stretch in the fourth quarter is just something we never would have seen in the last 5 years from Tom Thibodeau. And because Brown has an opportunity like this to work things out in regular season games and not treat every game like it's game six of the Eastern Conference Finals the way Tibbs did, is going to make this team better in the long run, where you don't have to say, oh, no, these guys have only played 3 minutes together all season. How can I go to them in a big spot in the playoffs?
Yep.
Brown is giving this team that sort of leverage in December, and it'll pay off for them in April.
That's a great point. That's one of the things I said earlier, Pete. Thanks for the call. So aside from the fact that, you know, the Knicks, from a competitive point of view, get really tested, you know, in a cup format, just more eyeballs, more attention. You know, the way Mike Brown's approaching the season is admirable. You know, don't get me wrong, it's fun to win, you know, whatever. Well, I mean, it's not like Thibodeau was cranking out 66 wins a year in the regular season. So I was going to say it's fun to win a ton of games. I mean, he won games, but it was never over the top crazy. Knicks were always a good team with him, and he was always a good coach. I thought they hit their level, and I just thought it's time for a totally new voice, totally new philosophy. And, you know, they looked as if they were fairly clueless during the coaching search. I mean, Mike Brown was not their first choice. We all know that. You know, sometimes you get a little bit lucky. And this very well might be the early stages of the Knicks getting a little bit lucky. Listen, the one thing that I've always liked about Brown, first of all, he's won a lot. He's won 60% of his regular season games, and he's coached basically 800 games. Like, he's been around, and he wins a lot during the regular season, all right? He's been with different franchises, different personalities, obviously with the Lakers, with the Cavaliers, with LeBron, Lakers, as high profile as it gets, the Kings, a young team who are usually not very good at all, kind of like the West Coast Knicks before the Knicks had this renaissance here. And he was able to regenerate them and get them to, and then of course it went sideways and the players kind of, you know, I think emotionally checked out on him and he was fired. But to think that he didn't do a good job in Sacramento, you just weren't watching the NBA. I don't know what to tell you. Two-time coach of the year. And he's also been with elite franchises as an assistant. Now, you're not the main guy. You're not making the main decisions. Understood. When you lose, you're not up there at the podium. You could go in there and have a beer in the coach's room and just kind of escape the fray. But when you're with the Warriors and the Spurs, as he was for a while, as an assistant to, I mean, Pop is a great coach, and Kerr's a really good coach. Some think he's great. I don't. I think he's just had great players. I think Pop is better coached than Kerr. But either way, great franchises. And you're in the middle of that. You're in the middle of a lot of winning. And I think both franchises went about their business a little differently. You know, Pop was more regimented. And I think the Warriors were a little more loose. And here we are. He's got a very diverse resume. And he looks ready for the job, no doubt. Let me get Ronnie and Inwood Inwood on the fan next. What's up, Ronnie?
Yeah, what's up, BZ? I'm calling to talk about the Knicks. Now, Mitchell Robinson has really got into shape. Man, that incentive that players get 50% of their contract must have really motivated him, because I've never seen him move that fast. And also, Josh Hart has developed a three-point shot, which I love to see. He's not now, you know, looking for somebody to pass at the three-point line. He's shooting it now. Defenders are starting to respect Josh Hart's three-point, and I see him. And then Cat was okay. Brunson won the MVP. And listen, the Knicks are good to go to the finals, and you know why? Because the East is not as strong as it was. Halliburton is out. Jason.
You chop it up. No, we know what's going on in the East. Thanks for the call there, Ron. Yeah, I mean, the Celtics are better than I thought they'd be without their horse, Jason Tatum. Obviously, the Pacers are awful. They've got 6 wins. Knicks play them, I think it's tomorrow, right? Because then they play the Sixers on Friday. They go back-to-back. Listen, the thing about Josh Hart, one of the things, and I mean, you love the guy. You love him. And I love him. But I don't love him as a starter on a championship team. I love him coming off the bench. And that's the role that he's supposed to be in. And he's still going to get the heavy minutes. And the one thing that, you know, bothered me about that, really the only thing, because his motor is through the roof, you know, rebound, attack the rim, great teammate, defense. I mean, he's just an all-around ball player. But, you know, you need 5 great shooters on the court, and he's not a great shooter. But in the modern NBA, you at least need guys who are willing to put it up. And too many times when he was on the court, and he was always on the court for Tom Thibodeau because Tom really trusted him, you know, it's too often it was 4-on-5. All right, he's not going to shoot. Let's sag off him. And you can't, you can't space it out that way. Because now the second body, second defender can float over to Brunson, float over to Towns. You know, if OG's having a big night, maybe throw somebody his way. That's just not good for the health of an offense. So the fact that, number one, he is shooting a little bit better this year, I do like that. And he's also shooting more. A matter of fact, he is averaging four attempts a year. That is the most that he's averaged since the 2021 season in a game. So, you know, a little more emphasis on shooting the ball from deep. Let me get Mad Mike down in Charlotte on the Free Odyssey app. BT on the fan. Mike, what's up?
Hey, BT. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Hanging in there, man. I just want to thank you and Sal. You guys are the best. I love you. Make sure you keep us updated because I'm going to follow you wherever you guys go. And you will sorely be missed.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We appreciate that. Thanks, man.
Point two, St. John's, baby, we're on the way. I think it's going to be another championship in New York for hoops. What do you think?
You know, it's interesting. I did the game last night, and, you know, they're not a championship team yet. They're just not. Now, the good news is you got Rick Pitino to get them there. You know, first of all, what happened early in the year, and it was fun. You know, you see the first rankings come out. Wow, St. John's number five in the country in the AP, which, by the way, was the highest they've ever started a season ranked. Even more so, and I didn't even realize this, than the 85 Final Four team with Mullen and Walter Berry and that crew, which was phenomenal, which was the team that got me hooked on St. John's. So I know last year was a massive disappointment against Arkansas. I was there. I was up in Providence, did the game with Mink, and that was a really rough ending to an awesome special season. The Garden was alive. Pitino is an A-list star. He just is. He just brings immediate attention, and he's just a man. I mean, I think Rick is one of the three or four best college coaches of all time. I've always said that, and I believe it. And the way it ended was definitely deflating. Like, they just didn't play well against Arkansas. The whole thing with R.J. Lewis and Benjamin, which I agreed with because he was not playing within the boundaries of the team. I love him. He just kind of stepped out of it a little bit. So I had Rick's back on that. But for this year, you know, you come in, you're number five, and you got all these new players. Like, there's a lot of things happening with St. John's, many of which I like, but things that they still need to do. And you know what? I'll do a little bit here very quickly. First of all, I like the fact that Ian Jackson's now the starting point guard. He's got an NBA talent. He does. Coming in from Carolina, he's got to get used to it, all right? I think that one thing that I've noticed, and this speaks to his character, I've said this a couple times during the games with Mink, because, you know, Zuby, who is an unbelievable basketball player and human being, but basketball player, he's great. He's a phenomenal player. And I feel like every game that I do, maybe a little hyperbolic, but most of them, I look up, you know, midway through the first half or late first half, you know, Zuby's got 4 points or 5 points, just a little quiet offensively when he wasn't that way a year ago. Now, the reason I think he's doing that, and I get it, is he's kind of deferring to get Hopkins and Jackson and Sanin and all these new players involved and make them feel comfortable, which is what a captain does. I just don't want to lose. I don't want him to lose his identity as a guy that could still go and get you 25 and destroy people. So that's one thing that's jumped out. Their depth is insane. It's absolutely insane. I think Sanin, who I think is the best shooter on the team, not statistically, but him and Sellers. Sellers has been very good this year. Sanin's been a little streaky. That's starting to change. Yeah, I mean, they're obviously a really good team. Right now, do I look at St. John's as a national championship team? I don't look at them that way right now. But I'll tell you what, go back this time last year, and, you know, we all watch Kidori, those of us who watch college hoops and love it. I watch Kidori Richmond a lot at Seton Hall. And when it took him a while to start feeling it with St. John's. And when he did, that ceiling just soared for this team, and they went 31-5. And they won the regular season championship. They won the Big East tournament. Granted, disappointing ending up in Providence, but it was an awesome season. It really was. It was a throwback season. It was as much fun as anything I've ever had in my career. It was that much fun until it ended. So I do think there's a couple of players who have even yet, they're just not even what they're going to be in a month. I think Jackson's one of them. I think Sadden's one of them. I think you're going to start seeing some more big games from Zuby. And when you see that, well, then I think St. John's could be a Final Four team. Not there yet. I just think they were a little overranked. Part of that is the Pitino factor, the buzz, you know. But when you bring seven new players, as they have, it just doesn't happen overnight. It does not.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I think I went when I was first here at the Fan.
Do you remember who you went with? Do you remember who opened for him, if anybody?
I think it was a couple of people I worked here at the station with.
Well, I would imagine. Like, could you be a little more specific? I mean, was it Schmooze? I mean, was it somebody like that?
No, it wasn't
like
on their staff.
Okay, gotcha. That's awesome. So you saw Petty.
Love Petty.
I do, too. I was going to say he's one of the underrated voices, but I don't really think he's underrated. I think everybody who appreciates music knows Tom Petty is just phenomenal. You know, let me say this to you now, though, because I don't know where the show's going to go today, because obviously we've got a lot to do. I want to keep going with the Knicks stuff and the Bellinger stuff, Yanks, Mets, whatever, the little Johnny stuff I throw on the table. 888-808-1019, BT Solo on the Fan. So I'll finish out today's, listen, I'm not trying to belabor this. I just want to let you guys know that it's coming to an end, as many of you know by now. So I've got the rest of today. I am off tomorrow. Not sure who's filling in, quite honestly. Could not care less. Doesn't matter.
Do you want me to tell you?
It does. Honestly, if nobody shows up, guess how much I care? Zero. Okay? And then I'm back on Friday. Yeah, you tell me. Go ahead.
It's Moose.
All right, well, I like Moose, so hopefully Moose has a good time. Yeah, no, Moose is a good guy. So hopefully Moose has fun. But really, if Moose gets stuck in traffic, God forbid, and doesn't make it, don't call me. I'm not showing up. All right, I'll be here Friday. But you will not be here Friday.
Correct.
So I would like to say to you, you know, it's funny. One of the things, the personalities at this place, God, they're so eclectic. There's so many. At the end of the day, we're all whacked out in our own minds. We're all weird and nutty and eccentric here. To carve out a career in this business, you got to be a little bit off, especially if you're on the air. Like, think about how unnatural that is to, you know, it is, there's an element of performance, obviously. Now, you turn it on a little bit. Now, if you completely change who you are, you're probably not a very authentic talent. You're not probably very good, but whatever. The mic goes on, we turn it up a little bit. And then there's those who are less like the focal point of a lot of the things that happen at the station behind the scenes. And Dove is not the only one here. But without them, without those men and women, we're not getting on the air. I mean, so that, first of all, that's the basic thing. But more on a personal level to Dove, you know, you and I had a lot of conversations about real life stuff, whether it's religion, you know, I would ask you things about Judy. I would ask you things about Judaism. And I found it very interesting where you went to St. John's, but yet are Jewish. So like we've talked about those things. You got your master's from St. John's, right? Yeah, undergrad. That's right. Undergrad. So I have always looked at you, in all sincerity, as, like the rest of us, an absolute weirdo, in a good way.
Why, thank you.
No, you're welcome. But just an emotionally stable, very affable, very giving of your time, very patient, especially sitting in a room with me and Sal sometimes. Patience is it's required. And I think the smartest person here, in terms of sheer intellect, and sheer knowledge of the world. And I would even say that I really respect the way you truly care about humanity, how you care about people. I know what matters to you. It's less about did the Yankees win, did the Knicks win. It's more about things that are much more important than that. And while I don't understand all of it because we are of different religion, I love your quest for knowledge, and I just think you're a good soul, and I wish you happiness. I truly do, and I've enjoyed being with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's a very high compliment, and this is not the end.
I know. But it is for this day-to-day interaction.
On these airwaves, it might be the end.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm actually debating. I might end the show on Friday Talk about music. How about the Doors? This is the end. This is the end. This is the end, my friend. Love you, man. You're a good man. You're a good person.
Thank you. It's been a great experience with you and with Sal.
Yep, no doubt. Thank you, Dove. All right, let's get back to you guys. 888-808-1019. How about Dom is in Westport on the fan with BT. What's up, Dommy?
Hey, BT. I just want to say thank you to Sal. I didn't get a chance to call him last week. And your staff. I've been a loyal listener since day one in 2023, and I'm going to miss you guys, but hopefully, you know, I wish you the best. And I just want to say something, if you give me a minute, before I have my point about the whole championship thing last night.
Go for it.
You know, I'm going to quote a movie, and from A Few Good Men. You played We Are the Champions, and you said you're going out a champion. You don't need to wear a patch on your arm to have honor, and you didn't need that to be a champion, because you're a champion to a lot of our fans.
I appreciate that. It's a great movie. It's a great compliment. Thank you, man. That means a lot, Tom. I appreciate it, dude. Thank you.
Yeah, I thank you. I mean, I would bring you guys. I'd listen to you. I was in Greece. I think I called right before I went, and I would listen to the because I had to hear what BT and Sal said. Best show on the fan by far. We're going to be missed.
We loved it.
I just want to say, thank you. I just want to say, you know, and I loved your game. You know, I loved your gambling stories. And Nick Costos, who's a Fordham Ram like me, so shout out to Nick.
Good guy.
And he gave you a shout out on his show, which I'm sure you know, his Sunday morning show, and really going to miss that spot. But anyway, I want to say, you know, been a longtime Nick fan. Love, you know, BK, Bernard King.
So me too.
I'm with you there. But I go back to Willis Reed. I'm 65. Game 7, walking out, you know, against the Lakers, hobbling out there. And while I'm not a big proponent of this, I don't want to detract from it.
Uh-huh.
It is important to energize our, you know, our sports, because it's been terrible. We haven't had a winner since the Giants in 2011. And when you started rattling off earlier, the records for the Knicks, I'm like, no wonder why nobody cares. So I just want to tell you, thank you so much. And really, you're going to be missed, you and Sal. And hope to cross paths at some point.
I'm not going away. Just in this time spot. Thank you, Dom. Means a lot. Thank you very much. You know, the mentioned Bernard King. God, did I love watching that guy play. There's just certain players that it's hard to explain. You got to really love it on the deepest possible level, like I obviously do, and like many of you. It's almost like a drug. There's such a connection. And obviously, Mattingly is my all-time favorite. I'll tell you a little funny story. Dove, you want to hear this? This is funny. So, you know, my sister would come home, A, Honor Society, you know, just brilliant, just never, ever got in trouble once. Then there was me. And report card days were a little different. You know, it was just a different dynamic. And she studied at Oxford. Like, my sister is sincerely brilliant. I don't know how I didn't get any of it. It would have been nice to get a shred of it. And I remember fourth grade. This is Bernard King. I'm going to wrap into Bernard King. So fourth grade, whatever grades I was getting, you know, my dad pulls out, I got my yellow legal pen. Not like Summers. I don't write stuff down to read it. I'll just jot down notations to keep my thoughts moving. Anyway, or points of reference. So my dad sits me at the kitchen table, this little circular, small kitchen. And he says, all right, I kept asking for a basketball hoop from Santa. So I think I was in the third grade, I think. And, you know, my dad was still on the job at that point, so he didn't have a ton of disposable money, and Santa, you know, it's not cheap for him to make either. Anyway, he sits me down and he basically writes up, I'll never forget this contract. And basically, I wish I still had it. God, that would be amazing. But it was basically like, hey, if you get this in this grade and in this subject and this and that and this and that and this and that. And when he took my strengths, like, you know, spelling and reading and writing, you better get A's in that. That's a given. Then the other stuff that I struggled in, like math, honestly, it may have been maybe a B minus. I wasn't that good. Science wasn't that good. Whatever it was a contract that I signed. And if I met it with the report card, then they would instruct Santa to bring the hoop, right? It's like the only time I studied in my life. I get it. I meet the, you know, the parameters. And I wake up on Christmas morning. And I'll never forget. Like, my sister, like, she was excited opening her gifts. But, I mean, I would run down the stairs like the Roadrunner. I just tore into it, man. And to my surprise and amazing satisfaction, and my stuff was always on the left part of the tray, there's this massive white fiberglass backboard with a huge red ribbon on it and a pair of black and white Converse weapons. Now, Bernard King had the blue and orange, but I like the black and white because I could wear them with my CYO, whatever. It just matched different stuff better than the Nick ones would have. Long story short, my dad goes out that day, puts the hoop up. I was too young to really help, and it was freezing. And his buddy, Mr. Welsom, who passed away, was, I think, a sergeant in the NYPD. They put it together, and I went out there, and I used to tape my fingers. If you go back and you look at old video of Bernard King, specifically when he played the Pistons, and he averaged, I want to say, 43 points against Isaiah, Kelly Tripuk, that was the young Piston, not the Bad Boys, before that. And it was like Louis Orr and those guys. Cartwright was still on the team. And Bernard had the flu. He had three broken fingers. Both hands were impacted. And he actually had both hands taped with certain digits. And I would get my dad's electrical tape from the, you know, from the whatever, from the, not the shed, but in the basement where the tools were. And I'd go out on that hoop and I would pretend that I was Bernard King. And I did that every single day. The fall away from the baseline, just the fouls, the turn. And then eventually Bernard turned into Mark Jackson. And, you know, and then eventually, you know, the hoop. Then eventually what happened was we figured out that we can lower the hoop. And then it just became a dunk fest. And then we got bigger, stronger, and it broke and whatever. But Bernard King, oh, my God, did I love watching him play. Again, it's like you watch certain players, and I'm sure it's like this with my son with Judge. You just watch him. You're mesmerized by him. Were you ever mesmerized by somebody when you were young?
Bobby Mercer.
Hey, that's Michael Kay's favorite too.
Yeah,
Bobby Mercer.
I remember when my dad tried to break the news to me softly that he was traded
to the Cubs. He was dealt to the Cubs.
It was the Giants. It was for Bobby Bonds, Barry's father.
That's right. I knew he played for the Giants too, but wow, I mean for the Cubs as well. Bobby Mercer, good pick. Gentleman, too, by all accounts, one of the great people in the game that, you know, no longer with us. But all right, there you go. That's my long-winded Bernard King story. That's my way of telling you that I
want to know if you expected to see the hoop or you weren't sure Santa got the message.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. You know, Santa's busy. You really never know. And then the sneakers next to it, too. I mean, the black and white Converse weapons. And it was the biggest bag. It was fiberglass. It was so heavy. I remember my dad and his buddy just getting it from the living room out to the yard. Oh, man, phenomenal memories. All right, there you go. 888-808-1019 BT on the fan. Like I said, see a couple St. John's calls up there, the NBA Cup, the Knicks, obviously Yanks and Mets, really, whatever it is. Let's just shoot the breeze. I got today, I got Friday. Then that is a wrap. We'll get the update. We'll bogus. We'll come back. We'll get right back to the calls on the fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.